Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of New Pronouns, Who Dis? My name is Kez, and I'm coming at you with a last minute episode as I am having top surgery tomorrow morning. This was a you voted, I listened situation, so I said, hey, anybody want to get another episode in before I go under the knife? And I got enough votes that said heck yes, so here we are. I just want to start off by saying thank you to everybody for all of the kind words, all the encouragement, all the support, throughout this entire time during my transition, throughout putting podcast episodes out, and specifically and especially these last couple weeks, couple months even, when I've been talking more and more about my top surgery that I get tomorrow. And just the outpouring of love and support that I've gotten from so many people has just been very comforting, encouraging, and it just wanted to say thank you that, everything that you guys are saying and, sharing my posts and things of that, it doesn't go unnoticed, and I just feel very grateful and loved. So I'm sitting here looking at my goofy little timer that I've had set for top surgery for probably over 150 days, pretty much since my consultation. And my little timer says 12 hours, 34 minutes, and 40 seconds, 39 seconds, 38 seconds. You get the point. Before I have to be there for check-in. And I'm so excited. It's obviously been a build-up and something that I've been really getting more anxious and more excited for as we got closer, but it's truly coming to the head, right? As it gets dark out this night on Sunday night, it's really becoming, it feels real. It's finally here. And I, in a way, feel like I'm truly stepping into a new life for myself. I know that it might seem, tedious or, overblown or whatever to people who don't experience gender dysphoria, but I don't really know how to compare it for you to really understand what it feels like, but I truly do feel like I'm gonna just kind of come out like a new person. Now, it's not one of those things when I get this, then I'll be happy situations. It's not like that. But I do know that my quality of life is going to be exponentially better. My chest dysphoria has truly impeded so much of my life, and it has impeded my life for so long and is so common for me that I almost don't even think about it anymore. It's second nature, right? Don't even realize that I'm doing it. But things simple as going to the gym and deciding to wear a hoodie when I should be wearing a t-shirt because it's hot, and that's because I'm having extra chest dysphoria that day. I don't want to go to the gym and have bra lines or have the obvious curvy breast issue. Something as simple as, hey, we want to go out and do something, but again, I'm feeling, chest dysphoria. I'm not feeling great about myself. So I have to make the decision on, am I going to wear something baggy that I don't really feel necessarily good in, but it's going to cover, my chest? Do I wear my binder, which I can only wear for a certain amount of time before it gets super uncomfortable and restrictive that I just want to peel out of it? It's to the point where if I want to go to, say, a concert, and maybe we're going to make a day out of it, so we're going to go eat and then we're going to go to the concert, we're going to hang out, and however long that time is going to be, I actually have to count that out in my head, because I know that they say they give the advice to not wear a binder for over 8 hours at a time. I can't even make it to 8 hours. 8 hours, I'm donezo. It hurts at that point. So counting the hours of okay, from the moment I put this binder on to the moment I'm going to get home, give or take an hour, like, can I make this happen, or do I have to wear, you know, a sports bra, which won't give me as much, you know, satisfaction of chest flattening, but, you know, I'll be able to breathe, and I'll be able to, like, enjoy myself knowing, you know, or not feeling so constricted. So, like, these things are constantly, these thoughts are constantly going through my head. You know, I think you can think of it as, you know, anytime that you feel uncomfortable about yourself for whatever reason, you know, if you got a pimple on your face, I don't know, and you, you know, simply are choosing not to go out and do something because, you know, you don't want to be seen, you don't feel confident, you don't feel comfortable, and that's been my life nearly every day, is finding a way to hide my chest so that I can feel comfortable and confident and go out and do things like a normal human being. And it's mind-blowing to think that I am so close to leaving that all in the past. I took my bra off for the very last time on Saturday afternoon, and haven't had one on since, and I will never have to put one on ever again. Unfortunately, I will be in a binder for about 6 weeks after surgery in order to, you know, make sure everything takes how it's supposed to, reduce the swelling, yada yada, that stuff. So that sucks and is going to be very, you know, uncomfortable and something I don't look forward to. But, you know, once I'm out of that binder, that medical binder, I mean, I can't even fathom the difference that it'll make in my life. Can't wait to be able to wear white t-shirts that, you know, because every white t-shirt ever is always a little see-through, right? So I can't wait to wear white t-shirts without bra lines and without, you know, being able to see that I'm wearing a bra. Can't wait to wear a tank top. I just can't wait to be able to leave my house and not have to change a shirt 40 times because I don't like the way that my chest looks in it. Especially nowadays, passing a lot more on the masculine side, that I have to really think about how my chest is going to be perceived by people, because I'm using the men's restroom when there's not an option for an all-gender restroom at this point. And, you know, that's the first thing that people do if they are unsure of your gender, they can't tell, like, by your face, then the first thing they do is look directly at your chest. If you've never really, like, presented as androgynous, you might not have ever had that experience, but think about maybe a time when you saw somebody that you weren't sure of their gender or looked a little androgynous, and, you know, out of your own curiosity, whether it was, you know, harmless, with no bad intentions, the first thing that you do to try to confirm one way or the other is to look at their chest. And so I feel like there's been extra pressure to make sure that I don't have any sort of semblance of a chest visible to the public, because if I'm using the men's restroom and maybe I'm not quite passing, quote unquote passing, or like presenting as male as much that day, like, am I going to be questioned? Am I going to be looked at funny? Am I going to get harassed? You know, these are things that I think about. Whereas, you know, before I started taking testosterone, as much as I hated my chest and wanting to hide it, there was times when I would intentionally puff out my chest or make it very obvious that I had breasts, because I was going into women's spaces and I didn't want to, you know, come across as more masculine in those situations, because I didn't want to get, you know, confronted or harassed, you know, for maybe using the women's restroom. So I would, like, puff out my chest and put my shoulders back to, like, really enunciate that, hey, look, I have boobs, it's okay, I'm supposed to be in here. And so now it's, like, the opposite. Going into the men's bathroom, all right, I gotta cover these boobs up, make sure that they're literally not visible at all, so that I can pass, you know, without any harassment in the men's bathroom. And, you know, this goes, you know, everything that I experience with my chest dysphoria goes much, much further beyond just public restrooms. But, you know, again, that's just to give you an example of the stuff that I think about on a daily basis before I literally do anything. And it's going to be just, I think, really, other than physically freeing to not be wearing a bra, it's just going to be mentally freeing and emotionally freeing to just exist in the world is exactly the way that I want to be existing and not have to constantly, you know, double check or think about, you know, how I'm presenting per se, especially in my, with my chest. But I took a pretty deep dive on my feelings and expectations and hopes and all the things about top surgery during my last podcast. So I thought that I would bring a little bit extra to this one. And since we're, you know, I started leaning into the topic, as it were, talk about bathroom anxiety and public restroom anxiety and how that's affected me from my early life until now. Using public restrooms, I don't think is something that a lot of people who are cisgender and present as their assigned gender really have to think about, or I guess like can really appreciate the privilege that they have. Like when you have to go to the restroom, you just get up and you go to the restroom. There's no thought about it, you know, maybe other than, oh, I hope the line's not long, or I hope it's not dirty, or I hope they didn't run out of toilet paper. But there's not, you know, this underlying anxiety of like, who am I going to encounter in there? Am I safe in there? Do I need a buddy? You know, things of that nature. You know, you get to, oh, nature calls and I'm going to the restroom. But that has literally never, ever, ever, ever been the case for me. You know, when I was younger, I presented very masculine. I had a short haircut. I wore boys' clothes. This is how I felt comfortable, and this is how I wanted to be perceived, and this is how I presented myself to the world at a very young age. And I'm, again, grateful for my mom for allowing me to express myself and be who I was. You know, even though I knew she had some worries and concerns, you know, getting bullied or things like that, which I did, to some degree, she still never tried to, you know, put out my spark, right? And so when I was very young, constantly getting mistaken for a boy, which to a degree I kind of liked and hated because I, again, didn't really know, you know, much about gender. I just knew that, okay, I liked my short hair. I liked wearing boys' clothes, right? But when it came to the bathrooms, that was quite the conundrum for anyone that I encountered in public restroom areas. So when I was in, like, fourth grade, I think it was, is when I first really got a short haircut. I was already wearing boy clothes, but that's when I had like the boy quote unquote haircut, and started having problems using the restroom even in grade school because people would be like, ew, a boy's in here. And so that obviously made me feel very self-conscious and, you know, proved to me at a very early age that I didn't belong or that something was wrong with me. That's what I was being led to believe because of the way that I was being treated. And as I grew older, I grew my hair out. I was able to use restrooms, you know, for female restrooms really without a problem. But still, you know, being somebody who wanted to present more masculine, still didn't really feel like, okay, this is where I belonged, but you know, whatever, it's just a public restroom. I just need to pee, right? And as I got older, I cut my hair short again, I think like end of sophomore year. And that was really in my time where I was just like, I'm going to start being who I am and everybody else can kind of suck it. Like, I'm just, whatever, this is my life. So that was tough, though, again, to have short hair, present masculine and try to use a public restroom, women's restroom specifically, I have had many encounters in public restrooms that were made me extremely uncomfortable and, you know, really created this bathroom anxiety that I have always had. One thing I could always count on anytime I went into a public restroom, public women's restroom, was that I would be stared at, either with confusion or disgust or anger. And sometimes it went beyond that. I had been, you know, told more times than I could count that I was in the wrong bathroom and had to defend or explain myself. And I've been screamed at to get out of women's spaces, women's restrooms, because I was a boy and wasn't allowed in there. I've had people that I know physically pushed out of restrooms by people, by women, when at the time they were also, you know, a cis woman, they just looked masculine, so, you know, that there was assumption made that they weren't supposed to be in there. So there's just been, you know, a lot that has built up over time that has created this, like, full-blown bathroom anxiety where it's just like, well, I can't pee in peace. Like, it's crazy. Like, I just want to go to the bathroom, and I feel afraid to use the restroom, to the point where, you know, there have been times that I was afraid that I would go into a restroom and, you know, maybe a woman would be in there, she would leave, like, go tell her boyfriend, hey, a guy's in the restroom, and then some guy be waiting for me as I walk outside of the restroom and get beat up. Like, these are the thoughts that would go through my head because of how much aggression I had gotten, and how aggressive society is towards people like me. So these were, like, real fears that I was having. And so I would need, like, either A, to hold it, which wasn't always an option, right? B, to try to go find a place that had a gender-neutral restroom or had a single-stall restroom, which were also few and far in between. So most of the time it was me, like I said, like, puffing my chest up to make it very obvious, look, I got boobs, it's okay, I'm supposed to be in here. And then having a buddy go with me, like, usually, you know, my now wife, Gina, would come into the restroom with me to, like, kind of be my bodyguard. It sounds silly and stupid, but, like, I needed that, like, support. Like, I need somebody in there with me who knows that I belong in there, so that if somebody tries to start something, that they can kind of fight my battle for me, because that was during the time where I was just, like, I would shut down. I wouldn't necessarily be like, you know, mind your own business. I was much more of the, I'm a girl, I'm supposed to be in here, it's okay. And, like, having to, like, plead with these people to, like, hey, no, it's okay. And then they would in turn argue with me about, nope, you're not supposed to be in there. And over time, it got to the point where I'd get kind of pissed off, right? Like, I would go in and someone would be like, you're not supposed to be in here. I'd be like, yep, I'm a girl, it's fine. And, like, aggressively just walk past them and, like, go into the stall. So I've dealt with it in a bunch of different ways. But, you know, it had gotten so bad that I would send my wife, or, like, ask her to, like, go scope out the bathroom. Hey, can you go scope out the bathroom for me? And that meant that she would just go check it out. Like, okay, is it a single stall situation? Is it, you know, in plain view of the rest of the restaurant or wherever we were? Was there anybody in there? All things like that. She would go check it out, scope the bathroom out for me, come back and report. Hey, it's a, you know, there's only one stall in there, but, you know, it's not like you lock it from the outside. You have to actually go into the restroom. I didn't see anybody in there. So if you go right now, you'd probably be good. I'll stand outside. Or she'd be like, there's two women in there. One's wearing this, one's wearing that. So as soon as you see those two people walk back, like, it's probably clear you can go. And, like, these are the strategies, the way that we were trying to, you know, strategize for me to be able to just freaking pee. Like, how insane is that? And it didn't have to, it had way less to do with like where I felt comfortable using the restroom, right? Like the women's restroom, I was fine using the women's restroom. I, at the time, still identified as a woman, you know, before I became, you know, not became, but before I like came into my non-binary identity, even though I was presenting masculine, I still said like, you know, I'm a woman, I'm going in the women's bathroom. And to have to go through, jump through all these hoops and strategize to just feel comfortable and safe going into a space that I should have been allowed in anyways, just is insane for me to think about, and to think about all the people that I know who have gone through that themselves or still go through that with people. Like, it's just insane. So as I was saying, it has less to do about where I felt comfortable going into the restroom and more to do about how people were treating me when I was going into the restroom that I was supposed to be in. And, you know, if there's any tips that I can give anybody out there listening, is to, first of all, mind your own business, you know, not to be, you know, crass or rude, but just mind your own business. Just trust that the person that is in there, whether you know their gender or their identity or not, which you probably don't, just trust that they're in the bathroom that they're supposed to be in. They're not in there to do anything crazy or to be harmful or to assault anybody, like all the politicians out there and are saying that people are trying. We're just trying to pee. We're trying to pee. Like, I head down, don't want to talk to anybody, don't want to look at anybody, go straight to the stall, pee, come out, wash my hands, leave. That's what I'm trying to do. But because people wouldn't mind their own business and just trust, like, I know where I'm supposed to be, it created so much fear that I would literally hold my pee, my bladder, until I was about to burst, to the point where I have gotten, you know, bladder infections for holding my urine for so long because I felt scared to use a restroom. And like, that's just totally insane. It's totally insane that I would have to be made to feel that way. And again, this was all before I was really coming into my, you know, non-binary identity. You know, I was just out there presenting as a butch lesbian. And so I didn't feel like I belonged or was comfortable in a men's restroom. Like, that's not where I was supposed to be. So there weren't options for me. There was no options for me. It's hold your pee or go into the women's restroom where at the time I belonged and potentially get harassed and feel uncomfortable. And it just really felt like, you know, rock and a hard place most of the time. You know, and I used to get so frustrated and so angry and just cry out of frustration, thinking, why do people act like this? Why can't they just leave me alone? Why can't they just let me pee in peace? Why can't they just mind their own business? Like, I don't understand why this has to be so hard. And I was very, very angry for a long time about that kind of stuff. You know, for you gave me this bathroom anxiety because you won't just let me go pee. And, you know, I had to start thinking about it from a different perspective as well, right? I can understand that a woman, a cis female, might feel uncomfortable with my presence in a restroom because maybe they perceive me as a man and, you know, maybe they were assaulted at some point, or, you know, maybe something had happened to them. And so, you know, having a man in their space, or somebody that they perceive to be a man in their space that's supposed to be, right, a safe space for them, right, a woman's safe space for them, feels violating. And I had to really, like, think about that after some time and just be like, well, you know, I guess I didn't really put myself in their shoes, that maybe they're not trying to be confrontational, they're not trying to be hurtful or ignorant in any way. It's just, you know, something happened to them or, you know, whatever it is that they are fearful of seeing, you know, somebody who they perceive as male in a safe space that's supposed to be for them. But on the flip side of that again is that that's also not my fault. It's also not my responsibility. Trans people and people who, you know, assigned female at birth, who may present more masculine, it's not our fault that you have these fears. It's cis men's fault. It's the patriarchy. It's the whole system, right? It's not a transgender person that makes you feel afraid or uncomfortable for your life. It's you're afraid of a cisgender male pretending to be a woman and coming into your space and assaulting you. You're not afraid of a transgender woman. You're afraid of men, of cisgender men. And not that, you know, again, not all cisgender men, right, are horrible beings. Of course not. But there are some horrible men out there that have created this environment where women have to fear for their safety in situations like this. And so I guess I just wanted to make that very, very clear, is that, you know, these all these bathroom bans, and I don't want a man in this space with my wife and things like that. It's just like, you're not afraid of transgender women. You're not afraid of gender diverse people. You're afraid of cisgender men taking advantage of a situation to assault people. That's what you're afraid of. A transgender woman just wants to pee. A non-binary or gender non-conforming person just wants to pee. A trans man just wants to pee. So then this kind of brings me around to, like, the portion of these, you know, trans bans, essentially transgender laws that are going out against transgender people and banning them from doing things and being in certain spaces, and, you know, their healthcare, our healthcare, and all that stuff. You know, part of that, a little part of that, is banning transgender people from using certain restrooms. Like, you can only use the restroom, your assigned, you know, birth restroom. Okay, well, I have a very deep voice now. I'm about to not have any boobs. I have facial hair currently, very masculine presenting. So you want me to go use the women's restroom? Like, it just, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you are looking at me, you would rather me walk into the women's restroom? I don't know. It just, the concept just is beyond me to think, like, people, I mean, there's so many, especially, like, trans men out there who are extremely, you know, masculine presenting. They've got full beards. They have fully transitioned. You wouldn't be able to tell them apart from a cisgender man. And you're saying, well, because assigned female at birth, you were assigned female at birth and signed your birth certificate, they have to go into the women's restroom. So you're just setting us up for failure. So now this trans man is forced to go into the women's restroom, and he walks on in there, you don't think he's going to get beat up or arrested or something else, you know, happen, because he, like, that's what you told him to do. You said he's not allowed in the men's bathroom. So what is he supposed to do? Just pee on the sidewalk? Like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these bans are just completely insane. It's, again, you're not banning, or you're not afraid of trans people. You're afraid of people taking advantage and pretending to be something that they're not and using it to be assaultive. Assaultative? I don't know what the word is, but you get what I'm saying. So at this point in my journey, I am, you know, presenting a lot more masculine, and because of that, I feel safer and more comfortable going into the men's restroom, and I don't think I wouldn't want to go into a women's restroom at this point, because I wouldn't want to make any women feel uncomfortable, being much more masculine than I've ever been before because of the low dose testosterone. Does that mean to say that, you know, somebody who is a lot more masculine presenting can't go in the women's restroom? I say no. Like, I guess my point is, it's like, people just want to go in there to pee. So just let them pee and just trust that they know where they're supposed to be in and what restroom they're supposed to be in. But anyways, I'm using the men's restroom Consistently now, if there's an all gender restroom, I would prefer that, but usually there's not, and so I'm using the men's restroom, which is, you know, all fine and dandy, except for, like I said, on the times when, like, okay, all I wore today was a sports bra, so am I flat-chested enough to go into the men's restroom and not get anybody to question me? But overall, I feel most safe and confident and comfortable going into the restroom at this point, the men's restroom at this point. With that said, things I miss about the women's bathroom. Cleanliness. I miss that a lot. Sorry, guys. You're nasty. You're absolutely nasty. I very much miss the cleanliness of the women's restroom. And I miss how in a lot of women's restrooms, they've got, like, you know, the little scented soaps and stuff. They got the little special stuff out. Sometimes they got, like, a basket of, like, mints or goodies or something going on. I miss those things. I miss the stuff that makes women's restrooms, you know, I don't know, not a stinky hole. I miss the fact that women's restrooms, you know, unless it was a single stall restroom, always had more than one stall. That's a big issue, right? Like, I can't stand to pee. I don't got anything there. So I need to still use a stall. And A, hopefully a guy hasn't just blown it up. B, hopefully there's toilet paper. C, hopefully it's not currently occupied with somebody blowing it up and I gotta pee so bad, but I'm sitting there dancing in my pants and having to wait because some guy's in there taking a poop. Like, so that gets tough sometimes. Especially, okay, now you got a line of guys waiting for the stall. And you know they all gotta poop. No one's going in there to pee. Like, there's a bunch of urinals in and out, right? So that kind of sucks, especially if you have to go really badly. I miss that the women's restroom was generally always stocked with enough toilet paper. As I said, that's the worst, to go into a stall and not have toilet paper. Now what am I supposed to do? The women's restroom didn't smell like urinal cakes. I miss the drunken conversation making in the bathrooms, and, like, even if you're, like, not even drunken, but just, like, usually for me it was, because that was really the only time I would converse with anybody in the bathroom, in a women's bathroom, because other than the time where I had that liquid courage, I would just be, you know, shut down to myself looking at the floor so that I didn't draw any attention to me, or see the nasty stares that I was getting. But, you know, being able to just, like, make random friends in the bathroom, I don't know. If you're not female assigned at birth and lived that experience, I don't know if you would understand what I'm talking about, but I think the cis women, female assigned at birth, people who transition, you know, trans women, I think that you know what I'm saying, right? You make friends in the bathroom sometimes. It is what it is. Things I don't miss, obviously being stared at, yelled at, feeling uncomfortable, feeling out of place, having to hold my pee due to being anxious or, you know, fearful that I'd be perceived in a certain way. And I definitely don't miss the long lines. Ladies, long lines at every event ever. Like, how did we hold it for as long as we did? Like, we were just bladders of steel, for real. And then, like, once we're in the stall, like, I don't know about anybody else, I'm in the stall and I'm peeing in and out. I feel like I'm, like, lightning fast. Like, force that pee out, wipe, flush, go to the sink, wash your hands. But I feel like a lot of women, once they finally make it to, like, that golden ticket, yes, I finally made it to the toilet and I get to pee, it's like they take their time. Like, I don't know what's going on there. Are you, like, also putting on your makeup? Are you also, like, texting on your phone? Like, what is happening in there? I don't understand why the lines are so long always. I dabbled on things that I, you know, some things that I hate about the men's restrooms already. But again, smells like urinals, right? Just generally smells. It's just usually not clean. I don't know what's happening. How you were potty trained or what the situation was, but there's, like, just stuff everywhere all the time. And it's just like, why are we so unclean? One thing that I've noticed, a lot of men don't wash their hands. So, women, beware. you know, I don't know, it just anybody, I guess I shouldn't just single out women, but, you know, just anybody ever, just very, very much beware. There's a lot of men or people who present, you know, masculine, going into these men's restrooms, peeing, doing their business, and walking straight out the door without even, like, rinsing their hands. That happens often, and it makes me want to gag. Like, that, yes, that's definitely a thing. Especially in the climate that we're in now, with all the, you know, hate and discrimination against transgender people, and it's just like a big hot button topic right now, right? Everybody's focusing on that, and everybody's getting on this bandwagon of banning transgender care, banning, you know, trans people in sports, banning trans people in bathrooms, things like that. It's been particularly more stressful to make sure that when I am using the men's restroom, that I am not being perceived as anything other than male during that time. And that includes, you know, not making eye contact with anybody, just making sure I'm minding my own business. When I'm going into the bathroom, like, literally having to, like, kind of pee on the edge of the seat to a degree, so that it doesn't sound like I'm in the stall peeing, right? Because if I just had to pee, why wouldn't I use a urinal? And I don't want people to question that, especially when if they look under the stall, because American freaking stalls basically have so many openings that you can see almost exactly what the person's doing in there. Anyways, you know, my front-facing feet and hearing, you know, me peeing, don't want that to happen. So having to, like, adjust the way that I'm peeing so that it doesn't sound like I'm peeing, hanging out in the stall even, like, a little bit longer than it would take for me to pee, to, because while I'm using the stall to poop, right? That's what the men are thinking at that point. So I have to kind of hang out there a little bit longer than I really necessary to kind of, like, prove a point, like, yep, I'm just in here pooping, no big deal. So it's like just these silly things that I have to do or feel like I have to do, because I'm still fearful. I still have anxiety. I still have bathroom anxiety. You know, even though I feel more comfortable going into the men's restroom at this point in my life with the way that I'm presenting and the way that I'm perceived than I ever did going into the women's restroom, presenting as masculine as I did, I still have these bathroom anxieties. But, you know, for the most part, men are in there minding their own business. They just want to go in, pee, and get out too. Obviously, I blend in better there than I did in women's stalls or women's restrooms. So yeah, that's where I'm at in my, you know, yay Kez's bathroom journey. But but this really is like a serious anxiety that a lot of people I know who are gender nonconforming, gender diverse, or even just present differently than what their gender is assigned at birth. So even, like, you know, my lesbian friends who are, you know, cisgender women, they identify, or cisgender female, they identify as women, they identify as lesbian too, but they, like, maybe present more masculine, and, you know, they also have those anxieties, all because of the way that society is. Like, they, again, we just want to pee. So again, the least that we can do for our fellow humans, for people who have these bathroom anxieties, like, A, if it's one of your friends, like, be a good friend. If they ask you to do a buddy system, do a buddy system. If they ask you to go check out the bathroom, go check out the bathroom for them, right? They're just trying to gauge, like, all right, am I going to feel safe and comfortable going to the restroom here? Or if you're just, you know, somebody on the receiving end, right? You're in the restroom and somebody walks in and you're not sure if they're a man or a woman or non-binary, like, you're not sure based on their presentation, you know, where they quote unquote belong. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just trust that they are using the restroom that is correct for them. So yeah, sorry, I don't know how I got so ranty, but obviously this is something I'm very passionate about. Bathroom anxiety and being allowed to exist in public spaces in general is something I'm very passionate about. It's something that I have dealt with my entire life. And it's something that I still deal with, and it's something that I know that a lot of people deal with. And I, again, think that sometimes people who are assigned, you know, their gender at birth and still present in that manner, don't think about these things, take that stuff kind of for granted. So just kind of being more aware, like, this stuff is going on, and think about what you could do to, like, maybe not make that person feel uncomfortable, because I guarantee they're already going in there feeling uncomfortable. I'm very excited about my top surgery, you know, for the plethora of reasons that I've already explained, but also, like, to be able to go into a restroom and not think my chest is going to give me away, that's going to be another, like, just big weight lifted off of my chest. Haha, wow, that was bad. But it is. It's going to be another anxiety that I'll be able to just let go of. It'll be able to go away. So yeah, just, I guess, going back to my top surgery tomorrow, it's real. It's here. I'm anxious and nervous for all the reasons that somebody would be going into surgery, right? But I know that this is going to be totally life-changing for me. And I just can't wait to see the results. I can't wait for it to just be over with already, be on the other side of it. I know that the surgery is going to be the easiest part. The recovery is where, you know, the hard part's going to come along. And I'm mentally, emotionally, physically prepared for that, I do believe. And we're just going to roll it out and yeah. I do anticipate a little bit of, like, maybe some depressive episode. I anticipate a little bit of grief. That's something I don't feel like a lot of people who are trans talk about, because I think that we're worried people are going to use that as ammo against us, like, haha, you have regrets, or haha, see, you weren't sure. But that's not the case. Like, it's completely normal to grieve the changes of your body, even if and even when they are changes that you want and something that you're excited about simultaneously. You know, I've lived, as much as I, you know, dislike the certain things about my body that make me, you know, seem feminine, I learned to live with those parts of me. For 29, 30 years, I'm 30 years old, holy cow, yeah, I'm 30 now, whoops, but I've learned to live with this body and make the best of it for my entire life, right, and I'm changing it to the way that I want it to be, to the way that I know I'll feel most authentically myself, feel the most comfortable, feel the most free, and, you know, just euphoric, and just more aligned with the gender that I'm identifying as. But there's still a degree of grief, because, you know, you're saying goodbye. It's like saying goodbye to an old pal, you know, saying goodbye to something that's been there with you your entire life. And even when it's a good change, it's normal to have a hard time seeing it go at the same time. Like, I know once I get my double mastectomy tomorrow, like, they're gone forever, right? I will no longer have these breasts who have been the source of a lot of pain and turmoil and discomfort, but, like, they were still a part of me, right? And they're gone. And anybody who knows me also knows that I can be a little indecisive, had some, you know, issues with, like, committing to certain things. Let's say, like, even something like buying a couch, like, I know I need a couch. I gotta buy the couch. The moment it comes to actually paying for the couch, I have all these anxieties and get nauseous and think, do I really need a couch? I don't need a couch. Like, do I really need to do this? Like, trying to almost talk myself out of it because, like, it's a commitment, right? Once I purchase that couch, it's purchased. That's it. It's my couch. And that whatever, you know, $2,000, $3,000 is gone. And so I guess that I can kind of equate it to something like that, where I do have like a little bit of sadness to a very small extent of, like, you know, my body is going to be changed forever and I'm saying goodbye to something that I've lived with my whole life. But I do know that this is exactly what I want. It's everything that I've always wanted and hoped for. And I can't believe that it's finally here. And I can't wait to be on the other side of it and to, I don't know, just really, I guess, start living my life uninhibited, freely, normally, and just finally feel aligned with my outsides and my insides. I'm very excited to be this far along in my journey, and I know it will be a forever journey. It's kind of the point, right? It's the point of life. It's not the destination, it's the climb, right? All that cliche stuff, but it is. It's the points in time, the growth, the changes, and I'm just grateful to be where I'm at now, and I can't wait to see what's to come. So, as I'm wrapping up this ranty, chaotic podcast, right now I have 11 hours, 35 minutes, and 32 seconds until I have to report for top surgery in the morning. So with that, I'm going to go eat because I can't eat past midnight, which I'm not going to be up till midnight. That's completely silly, but you know, I'm going to go eat to my heart's content. I'm going to go hydrate. I'm going to rest. I'm going to play with my dogs since I won't be able to roughhouse with them for some weeks after my surgery. And I'm just going to relax and, you know, enjoy my last day with boobies. So thank you guys again for tuning in as you always do. And I appreciate all the support. And yeah, if there's anything that you want to hear, anything that you have questions about, topics you want me to discuss, please feel free to reach out and let me know. I'm anybody who knows me personally, you got my phone number, my email. Otherwise, you can catch me on Instagram at newpronounswhodispodcast and send me a message. And I would love to discuss stuff that you have questions about, curiosities, things like that. So, all right, guys, until next time. See ya.